Take your Bibles, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read the first 11 verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We'll read this passage and I'll ask you to be seated, and then we'll get to preaching right away. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11, and let's read this passage responsively. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, that's November for you deer hunters. And a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And verse number 11, let's read that together. Ready? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, teach us a very, very, very vital lesson for our lives tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to, and by the way, I'll make some statements tonight. I have no one person in mind. I really don't. I'm not, you say, well, you're going to say something. You're talking about me. I am not. I am talking to all of us. So if you take it personally, fine. If not, that's between you and God. All of my sermons are that way, so don't worry about it. But God made time for earth. God made time. Man didn't make time.
That's right.
No other place in the universe is there time. Time was made for man. In Genesis 1, the Bible says, the evening and the morning were the first day. That's time. Then the evening and morning were the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, in the fifth day, in the sixth day, in the seventh day, God rested and saw all that he made, that it was good. And he called the seventh day his day. God made time for man and for the earth. Now, just so you know, God made it very predictable. Do you know that time has not changed at all in world history? It still takes 24 hours a day for the sun make a revolution. Now, twice in history, once he stopped it for a little while, the other time he backed it up once, but those were very unusual anomalies, but God did that on purpose. But time, did you know, doesn't matter who the president is or who the president is not, sun's coming up tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. Did you know, it doesn't matter if who the queen or the king of England is, the time has not changed. What God set in motion in Genesis chapter 1 has not been affected by man. Did you know not one human being can change time?
Yes, sir.
Now, we try to mess it up in America and change the clocks twice a year, but that really screws everybody up. But time waits for no one. Did you know the world doesn't run faster and then slower? Time waits for no one. It doesn't matter how important the person is. Time does not wait. Doesn't matter whether a Hollywood movie star dies or some poor homeless person on the side of the road dies. Time doesn't wait or stop for anybody.
You're right.
Doesn't matter how rich and famous or how poor, time doesn't change for anyone. Time is how we measure life. We could say it is the substance of which life is made. Let's see, Fred, how old are you? 79, 80? 180, something like that. But, you know, we measure our life by time. days, weeks, years. Time is measured, and it's what our life is made up of. Man doesn't determine, nor do we control time. We might have scheduled times to do things, but guess what? We don't control the time. Time keeps marching whether we schedule it right or not. The clock doesn't stop for anybody. Now, no human has ever moved the clock or the calendar backwards successfully. I don't care how many times Superman had to fly around the earth backwards, he didn't do it. That is one of those weird philosophies, all right? Time does not stop. Now, all of our life is based on time. Do you realize that most everything we do in life is time sensitive? When you eat, when you go to bed, when you get up, it's controlled by it. School, work, your age, business, shopping, your bills, making money, everything is all based on time. Some of you get paid by the hour. Some of you get salary, but you still have to put a certain amount of hours in, which is time, to get your work. So time is the foundation. It is the building block of all of life. Just think about how many clocks there are everywhere you go in life. Most of you carry one around on your phone. Every room you go into, there's another clock. You ought to thank God there's one in this auditorium right now. And I check it so that I'm not bad with your time. Time is important. My time is my life. And my time is not your life. But your time is your life. Now, listen to me very carefully. We're good at seeing how important our time is to us. But sometimes we don't see how important our time is to someone else. Now, I want us to spend our time, our life, well. I want us to not waste our life. I don't know about you. I'm getting to the point of time in life where I don't have much to waste. 50's not far away. And that means if I live 70 years, I only got 20 left. Well, I've lived 20 twice already and half again. I realize what 20 years is. If I've only got 20 left, I don't have much left to waste. So I better stay busy. Now, by the way, I don't want to waste your time. Here in Ecclesiastes 3, God tells us there is a time for everything. I want you to notice something. This passage is really interesting, and I've touched on it before, but look at it. Look at the words. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. The world, we base everything on seasons. We are now in the winter season, and thank God for 50 degree winter. Glory to God. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas, amen? And we had one. By the way, I like the different seasons. My favorite season is spring. I love spring. I love the trees blooming and the flowers popping up and the fields getting planted. And I just love the springtime of the year. I don't care for the pollen as much, but I still do love spring. Now, wait a minute. To me, it's one of the most beautiful times of the year. I think fall can be pretty, but the only nice thing about fall is hunting. To me, fall is everything dying. Everything. You go, well, the trees are so pretty. When you're colorblind, they're not pretty. Man, I've driven for, go see the trees. They all look the same color to me. All right. Did you see? No, I didn't see it. The Bible says that there's a time to be born. Last Wednesday, Rachel, Brother Stoltz's daughter, gave birth to their third child, Jacqueline. 7 pounds, 11 ounces, and, I still haven't figured this out. Why do they say a baby's long, but the rest of your life they say how tall you are? How come they don't say it's 21 inches tall? All right? That just doesn't make sense to me, but that's what they do. So there was a baby born on Wednesday. But at the same time, Brother Jim's father-in-law, April's and Tammy's dad, died Friday night. There's time to die. One came in, one checked out. I don't mean that unkindly. But there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's planting time, there's harvest time, there's killing time. That doesn't mean each other, that means critters, amen? There's a time to heal, there's a time to break down, and there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to love. By the way, there is a time to hate. God said that, I didn't. If you look at the Bible there, it says there is a time to hate. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to hate sin. Yes. We're supposed to hate what sin does. We're not supposed to hate sinners, but we're to hate sin. I hate sin. I hate drunkenness and what it does to people. I hate liquor. I hate drugs and what it does to people. I don't hate the people that do it, but I do hate the actual liquor itself. I hate the drug industry. I hate the murder industry. I hate sodomy. God hates sodomy, but I don't hate the sodomites. Right. Now, we're supposed to hate sin. You can't love God unless you hate sin.
Right.
You can't love God unless you hate the devil. I texted a couple preachers about, we had 7 visitors, 4 saved, 2 baptized today. Brother Fugit texted me back and he said, that put a twist in the devil's whiskers, didn't it? And I thought that was funny. For some reason, I thought it was funny. And I enjoyed that. Can I tell you something? We put a twist in his whiskers today, amen? I put a twist somewhere else too, and I put my foot there behind it after I did it. But let me tell you something. There is a time for everything. Now, God is telling us that the time we do things is as important as what we do. Do you know that what you do is important, but when you do it is just as important? Let me show you what I mean. There is a time, the Bible says, for embracing and a time to refrain from embracing. Time for embracing is once you're married. Time to refrain from embracing is when you're not married. Everybody doing all right? That means you ought not be hugging on somebody that's not your spouse. That's what God said. Okay, that didn't go over real well. There's a time to hate. You know, I hate sin, but there's also time to love. I love the sinner. There's not a human being on the face of the earth I wouldn't witness to and try to get saved. I don't care how bad they are. I think I'd even witness to Hillary. Now, whether she listened or not is another case, but we people get time messed up. Sometimes we think the what is okay, but the problem is the when, not the what. You know, God gave the physical relationship between a husband and a wife to be a wonderful thing, but if you do it outside the wrong time, it's a wrong thing to do and it's not right. So it's not just the what, it's the when. Everybody doing okay? Time is life, so when we do things affects us just as much as what we do. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. God is never late. God's always on time. This is a thought that I want you to get. God's never guilty of bad timing. Matter of fact, verse 11 said, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. God's timing is always right. God created time. Don't you think he knows how to read a clock? Somehow we get this mentality that God sits in heaven, and because heaven is eternal, there's no time there, so God doesn't understand that we work by a clock. God made the clock. God made the time. God made the availability of us to measure that time. He made the seasons. He made everything about it. He understands more about time than you and I do. Amen. God's not defunct of being able to tell what time it is, what day it is, what month it is, what year it is. Matter of fact, he was the one that started it.
That's right.
It talks about days in heaven. It talks about months in heaven. It talks about half-hour spaces in heaven. There is time in eternity. But that time is not a measure of breaking down like our bodies do. It is just a measure of organization like it was intended to be. Now, listen to me very carefully. I must trust that if my timing and God's timing are off, guess who the problem's with?
Right.
It's not God, it's me.
Well,
I needed this by this time, and God didn't give it to me, so God's not fair, and God doesn't understand. Can I tell you something? Just because your clock didn't match his doesn't mean his was wrong.
Right.
Now, let me say this. There's a song that is sung every once in a while, not here. I'm not against it. It's just not biblical. It talks about Lazarus, that he was 4 days late. Jesus was 4 days late, but when God was 4 days late, he was right on time. God wasn't late. I don't like the fact of attributing to God that he was late. He was not late. They had healing in mind. He had resurrection in mind. It was exactly as God wanted it to be. It was not as man wanted it to be. Now, eternity is not affected by time, but eternity has time in it. Just because God is eternal, now look this way. Just because God is eternal doesn't mean that he does not understand time. Okay, look at me. I know it's loud. Can we shut that door? Thank you. I really will enjoy when we have our new building. And it's not her fault. I understand. Now, God doesn't forget about us in the fact that we live by the clock a little bit more than he does. God doesn't sit in heaven and say, "Oh, I forgot to look at the clock. Brother Stoltz needs this. I'm late." God doesn't look at the clock and say, "Oops." Now, listen very carefully here. I've got to give you just a few statements. I think I've got three things I want to give you, and I want to be good to you. Number one, don't judge God based on your time. When it comes to time, don't judge God based on your timing of things. Please don't get mad at me for saying this. Don't put God on the deadline. Well, I got a bill that's due on the 30th of this month, and if God doesn't come through, I'm just giving up on God. Okay, you just put God on a deadline God doesn't have to meet.
Right.
Maybe God didn't want you to have that bill to begin with, and it's not his, as I said this morning, he's not obligated to pay it. Everybody doing okay? Now, stay with me here. Don't stop obeying God if he doesn't meet your deadline. Just because God doesn't meet your deadline doesn't mean we're supposed to stop serving him. I remember one day I was in Bible college, and I was going to get to leave and have a kind of a long weekend. I was going to leave, and I think I got to leave on a Thursday or something, and I didn't have to be back till Monday morning. I was going to leave right after chapel, drive 7.5 hours back home, spend Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then leave Sunday night after church, drive all the way back through Sunday night church, go to college Sunday or Monday morning, go to work Monday afternoon. Everything was going to be fine. I was sitting in chapel, and they called my name. I had to go to some staff person's office. I was mad. I wanted to get out of there. Matter of fact, I had to go to Brother Sally's office. And if you knew Phil Sally, you'd know why I was mad. But then when I got there, I wasn't the first in line. There was about six guys ahead of me. Oh, brother. So I ended up getting out of there about 15 minutes later than I wanted to get out of there. I was not a real happy person at that moment. He said, "Bush, what's the matter with you?" I said, "I'm going home." I said, "What?" I said, "Does this?" He said, "How come he didn't tell me?" I said, "I couldn't. You were guys ahead of me." He said, "Oh, it's nothing." He said, "Just this." He said, "Just see me when you get back." That really made me mad then. I got in my car, ran back by my dorm room, got my stuff, got in my car, started driving. I got halfway between Maryville and Valparaiso on Route 30, and I looked up, and there was an accident right in the middle of the road, and I was the second car to come up on it. And when I got there, there was a car that had going westbound on Route 30, or there was a truck going westbound. Somebody was going north on a side road there. They didn't calculate the speed of the truck real well, and they drove right underneath the trailer of the truck and turned a car into a convertible. There was no police there. Everything's still steaming and smoking and nasty. And I jumped out. I threw my car and parked it on the side. And I jumped out, and a guy that had gotten out of his car was over there, and he come running back, and he's leaning on the side of the road, barfing. And he said, "Don't go over there." And I looked over there, and the person driving the car, they were still seated in the driver's seat, but their head wasn't there. It was in a different part of the car. And that was the day before cell phones. There was no such thing as a cell phone. So we were, somebody came by and they said, "Well, I live right there." I said, "Go call." So we called, got the police. I didn't have problems not falling asleep on the drive home, let me tell you. But as I was standing there, I thought, you know, if I'd have left a couple minutes early, I could have been in the middle of all that mess. I began to thank God for His timing and not mine. I learned a long time ago, if God delays me that way, there's a reason. I might not understand it, but I'm just going to accept it. Now, let me help you with something here. God sees farther ahead than you do. You got to trust Him. I can't tell you how many times something didn't work out in the timing I wanted, and then later I found out, boy, am I glad that didn't work out the way I wanted, because that would have failed bad. If we'd have gotten a loan 6 months ago, we'd have never made it. We'd make it now. If we'd have got a loan a year ago, we wouldn't have made it. God's timing is best. Everybody doing all right? Now, I wanted it then. I sat in the engineer's office. They said, "Well, when do you want this project?" I said, "Last month." They said, "No, when do you want it done?" I said, "A year ago." I said, "I'm past ready." I said, "That's what I want. That's not what I'm going to get, but that's what I want." Wait a minute, the closer to the Bible and godly counsel we live, the more understanding of God's timing we have. You know, sometimes God wants us to slow down and look at things a little differently. God doesn't want us to put Him on a timetable. I never put God on a deadline. I never say, "Oh God, we got to have this and we got to have it by this time." Now there's times I have deadlines and say, "God, how much can you help us get by this time? God, I'm going to set a time, and because I got to, so this is what I got to get by then." But God usually comes through before then. But I don't put Him on a deadline. And if it fails, it's not His fault, it's mine. We shouldn't hold God hostage to meet our obligations. And I'm going to be very careful and cautious with this. And please listen to me. I'm trying to counsel you a little bit here. Be careful that you don't put God on a deadline for paying bills. He gave you the ability to work and pay your bills. That's what you ought to be praying. "God, give me the labor I need. Give me the income I need to pay them. Don't just drop it out of the sky." I've never had God just drop money out of the sky. All right? If you have, I want to go where you're at. It doesn't happen that way. You say, "Well, preacher, you had somebody volunteer to give the church $65,000. Yeah, but that came because God just supernaturally answered prayer. It didn't fall out of the sky. That came because we've been begging God and seeking His face and asking Him for what we needed, and God provided in a supernatural way. It didn't fall out of the sky. By the way, we didn't get it without doing something for it. See what I'm saying? So God even wanted us to work a little bit to get it. Now, this is where I'm going to count you a little bit. That means same thing with deaths. You know, just because somebody didn't die when you expected them to, doesn't mean God's timing is bad. I hate to tell you, there's ladies in here. I know of probably three or four ladies in here, you've lost children before they were born. You say, "Well, that's just not fair." It wasn't God's timing. My daughter-in-law lost one. Ruth Ann lost one a year and a half or so ago. We understand. I'm a grandpa, but I never saw the grandbaby. Won't till I get to heaven. It's all right. I trust God's timing. Everybody doing all right? Same thing with one of my grandfathers. He fell over dead with a heart attack that quick. May 24th, 1980. Day after my 13th birthday. I remember it well. I had two other grandparents that died of Alzheimer's. Both my dad's parents. I preached both of their funerals. I still have one grandmother that's... She'll be 99 in April. I said, Grandma, you're going to be 99 this year. She said, well, if I make it, good night. She's going to outlive everybody. I think she's going to outlive God. She's an amazing person. Wait a minute. When she goes, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be sad. But God's not going to be unfair. I've preached funerals for babies. I've preached funerals for small children. I've preached funerals for teenagers. I preached a funeral in the Chicago area for a 15, 16-year-old boy that got shot in a gang incident. Matter of fact, I preached, I think, 7 different times during the viewing and preached the funeral. I don't know if you were even there, Brother Stoltz, but they had me preach every hour on the hour during the viewing for 2 days because there were so many people coming. And we had, I don't know how many people saved. And as soon as we got done with the funeral, as I was leaving the cemetery, there was another shooting because the rival gang members came by and started shooting people that came to the funeral. Yeah, I've been in some pretty fun areas, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? We ought not get mad at God because we think somebody died too soon. I've watched people linger and hurt and suffer for a while. And, oh, this is cruel. Why doesn't God just take them? Everything is beautiful in God's time. Don't get mad at God for the timing of things. And I got to hurry here. Number two. So, number one, don't judge God based on your time. Number two, we need to see the value of time. Okay? Now, I'm not looking at everybody, but Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. We need to redeem, that word redeem means to make the most of or to buy back. To earn, that means this. We need to meet our obligations on time. We live in a generation to where almost nothing is done timely anymore. I believe if you have a 10 o'clock appointment, you ought to be there before 10 o'clock, not 10:01. I was taught if you're late, you're late. Period. There used to be a day when you had, when you went to go get a job, you set an appointment and you went there, and if you missed your obligation to be there at a certain time, they didn't even talk to you. Didn't matter what the excuse was. I believe we ought to beat everything on time. Now, to me, on time is half hour early. But that's me. I'm there early no matter what. That means this. If it takes you 30 minutes to get from point A to point B, and you have to be there at 10 o'clock, I wouldn't leave at 9:30. I'd give myself more than a minute or two extra. Give yourself 5 or 10 minutes. Say, well, what am I going to do? Take your Bible with you and read your Bible. Do something. You don't have to waste your time, but don't waste somebody else's time. Okay, there's probably 40 or 50 people in this room tonight. If somebody came in, we started church, and you came in 5 minutes late, you say, well, I was only 5 minutes late, preacher. No, you multiply 5 minutes times 50 people, that's 250 minutes you were late. Because you wasted 5 minutes of everybody else's time that was in this room because you disturbed everything coming in late. You didn't waste just your 5 minutes. You were late 250 minutes because everybody else was late because of it. Everybody doing all right? That's why I work real hard, and I understand the value of time. Keep your appointments on time. Did you know that being late on your bills, just because there's a grace period, doesn't mean that you're not late? Ouch. I believe in paying the bills on time. Get them paid on time. Being late wastes life. Well, the power company's got enough money, they don't need mine. Yes, they do. That's how they make their money. And if everybody thought like you do, that's why they don't want to leave your electric on. Being late is not godly. God's not late. You want to be spiritual? You want to be godly? Be on time. Being late costs life and money. You know, if you're late to work enough, you're going to lose your job. You're going to get your pay docked. It's going to cost you money. It costs you a job. Be careful. I don't mind being used as a job reference, but if the boss asks me if you're going to be on time or not, I'm going to tell him the truth. I really will. I don't lie to people about job references. I've had people that have security clearances through our government, and I've had FBI agents in my office, and they're wanting to know specific things. And one of the first questions they ask is this: Are they on time? Do they pay their bills on time? Do they do this on time? I hear that term a lot from those people. On time, on time, on time. You say, why? Because time is important. Now, be considerate of everybody else's time. You know, don't hold people over real late. I try not to hold people late at church. One reason when we started our church, I started at 6. Because if we get out of here by 7:15, those of you that have smaller children and they have school the next day, it's still not real late for them to get home and get to bed on Sunday night. I try to get out right on time at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. And different areas of the country deem that you start at different times. I understand that. When we were in Indiana, church on Wednesday night started at 7:35. Because of all the businesses and construction and the travel of people from Chicago, but we didn't get out of church till after 9 o'clock. Do you know what it was like taking kids home, not getting them to bed till 10:30 at night, and then they got to get up early and go to school the next day? That was not fun. I can't tell you that I always enjoyed Wednesday night church for my family's sake, because them kids were cranky on Thursday. Then as they got older and they needed to have projects that were due, oh yeah, I didn't do it, so they got to stay up real late. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So let's not hold people over. Let's not waste other people's time. Let's understand the value of time. Number 3, let me finish with this. God's clock does not always match when we want things to. God's clock may not always match what you want it to match. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24. I'll give one illustration here. I could give many, but I won't. Matthew chapter 24. By the way, I'm not talking to you because you were late today. I don't know who was late. I wasn't paying attention tonight. Nobody was late. We were all on time. Amen? So it was a good night to preach this. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 36. Now, I want you to notice the references to the different time here. Look at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days there that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, look at me for a second. Did you know that God the Father is the only one that knows when the rapture's coming? But he has an hour and a day set. He has a moment set. He knows when it is. God has days, hours, even if ours don't match his, guess what? When he comes back, whether you're ready or not, he's coming back. I've kind of joked with you. If we're going to get this loan, I've already told God we better have at least one church service in that thing before he comes back, or I'm going to be mad. Now, if he wants to come back before we have to make a payment, that's fine. But if we've already gone through all this, I want to have church in that building, amen? Now, wait a minute. We need to learn to avoid situations that cause us to react because of bad timing. Look at me, if you will. You know, sometimes we put ourselves in a position to where we have to react to God negatively because we put him on a schedule that's not his schedule. And then we get all emotional about it. Can I tell you something? Plan your emotions. You know, I plan when to get mad. If I've got a tough sermon, I put little things in my sermon that say, get mad here. Or I'll put a frowny face. It means get mad. I plan it before I ever preach it. Most of the time. If I need to be cheery, I'll put a smiley face and say, get happy here. I plan that into the sermon. You might not understand that, but the same is true with grief. There are certain things that I don't allow grief just to hit me. I plan when I'm going to grieve. February 6th is the day Brother Hiles died and went to heaven. I plan a small period of time on every February 6th to think about Brother Hiles and hurt and think about the loss that we've had of Brother Hiles. But I don't let it just consume me for my whole life. Every May 24th is the anniversary of my grandfather going to heaven. I plan a time that day to call my grandmother and we sit there and talk about Grandpa. Sometimes I get her laughing. We talk about some of the silly things Grandpa would do. I told my wife one year, I said, I'm going to get Grandma mad on Grandpa. And she said, what for? I said, because she needs it. She needs to get riled up a little bit. I said, she's a little down. I said, I need to get her riled up. My grandfather, he took us to get fish one day, my brother and I. They took us to this place called Tim's Fish. We came back. And he said, now don't tell your grandma where we were. I said, all right. So she was going to get us lunch. I said, it's okay, Grandma. We already had lunch. We had fish. She said, oh, really? Where'd you go? We said that. Tim's. Well, I didn't know this, but Tim's Fish was a bar. My grandpa took us too little because they had the best fish in town. He wasn't drinking beer, but they had good fish. We went and ate at the bar. I didn't know it was a bar. I just knew it was dark in there. That's all I knew. Grandma got mad. Do you know that happened? Good night, that happened 45 years ago. She can still get riled up about it. I mean, the hair on her neck. She's 98 years old. I was riding with her one day, and some guy cut her off. She had to hit the brakes, and we were sliding. And she had to be 60 plus at the time. My cute little grandma, hell's not full of people like you yet. Grandma. She said, sorry. I remind her of that every once in a while, you know. God bless her. I thought, man, my grandmother's, she's tough. You know, plan your emotions. You know, plan when you're going to hurt. Plan when you're going to be happy. By the way, plan when you praise. Plan when you're going to praise God. By the way, plan how to handle disappointments. By the way, we men are real good at not planning anything, and we wonder why our wives get upset when something doesn't go as they planned, because we were too rock-headed to think about it. Because they've got their emotions set on something. Same thing with your kids. If you say you're going to do it, and don't get upset because they're upset. They've been planning on it. I learned a long time ago, a woman, she anticipates something. She builds up her emotions for it. She enjoys the event, and then she wants to talk about it again for about 6 years. That's how they enjoy something. We men, man, we can sit down, eat a meal, gobble it down. Bless God, it's good. Now, where's the next thing to go to? We don't give a flip. We don't think about it. There's no such thing as comfort food to a man. Say, what's comfort food to a man? Whatever you can poke in the pie hole. Amen. Well, I want to eat this because I feel like this. I don't eat food based on what I feel. If the gut says it's time to eat, it's time to eat. Amen? Amen. That's why it's in the shape it's in. I got to tell it when it's got to eat. Now, wait a minute. When things come to us that we don't have control of, those are the things that God allows so that he can show himself. Sometimes you don't plan on something happening. Well, God didn't plan to destroy you. He planned on making you better. God brings things and situations into your life that are out of your control. Okay, they're out of your control. That means God had a timing for it. We have to get through it and understand God's timing and accept God's timing and say, what do you have for me? I'm not going to let it destroy me. We need battles so we can enjoy the feeling of victory. With no battle, there is no victory. Did you know with no battle, there is no peace? Peace is not the absence of battle. Peace is the result of battle. You don't get peace without a fight. You don't get peace without somebody being stronger than somebody else and proving it. So, listen to this one. We need failure to enjoy success. You need making mistakes and failure to understand success. Do you know that nobody succeeds at everything they do immediately? Do you know that failure is a part of success? The only true failure is the person that doesn't get back up after they got knocked down.
Sir.
Person that quits is the failure. I learned a long time ago, there ain't no such thing as quit in my life.
Amen.
You might knock me down, but I got one more get up than you got knocked down. I'll wear your arm out. I will outlast anybody, I promise you. They don't make the person I can't outlast. I got just enough of my grandma in me, amen? I can outlast anybody.
Amen.
I can endure more than my enemy can pump at me. I can get up, smile one more time than they can hit me, I promise you. Old Muhammad Ali, man, he used to let Joe Frazier beat the tar out of him for 14 rounds, but round 15 was coming and Joe Frazier's arms were tired and he would diggity, diggity, diggity dog and knock him out. Say, what happened? He was able to take it longer than the other guy could dish it out, wear him down enough to where he could beat the tar out of him. That's what it's about. So when God's timing doesn't match ours, we have to accept what his timing is and realize he didn't come to destroy you. He came to build you, not destroy you. I don't understand everything that comes into life, but may I say this, he's not trying to destroy me. He's trying to build me.
Yes, sir.
Let's step up and be built. Let's not let it destroy us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a time for everything. Let's be conscious of the time, and let's be good to people about time, and let's realize that time is life. Let's use our time wisely. Let's let God have the beauty of his timing. Let's not get so disappointed if it doesn't work out quite like we thought. Let's just accept it.